ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
What exactly does this mean? That the pundit, one who is learned, sees the dog and the Brahmin the same. Does it mean that one, just like one should respect a Brahmin and offer him charity, one should bow down to a dog? Or as is more common in Tamil Nadu, they treat the Brahmins like dogs. That is not implied here. There is a difference between different species and different people and different grades of people. That the pundit or the learned person sees all beings as equal doesn't mean that he sees a tiger and he thinks, let me embrace it. But he sees the spiritual equality of all beings. He sees that all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. And just as Krishna is Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, Krishna is the best well-wisher of all living beings, so the devotee is also. The devotee wishes that every living being revive their dormant love of Krishna. But he acts with different living beings, different conditioned living beings, he interacts with them in a manner that is conducive to their best benefit. Now, those who are in the human form of life, they can more easily be taken to Krishna consciousness. Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahusam bhavante manusham artidam anityam apiha dhira. That this human life is attained after many, many births, and although it is temporary, it has the value that particularly in this human form of life, we can get free from birth and death. So we preach Bhagavad Gita among the human beings, not among the cats, the dogs, the monkeys, the snakes, or any other. Now, all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. Spiritually, there's no difference between the jiva that is presently in the body of a human being and another jiva that's in the body of a tree. But the human beings can take to Krishna consciousness. Other living beings can only indirectly be benefited by the help of human beings. For instance, we can take the fruits and flowers from a tree and offer them to Krishna. And that will benefit the jiva who is presently entrapped within the body of a tree. But the consciousness of the jiva in the form of a tree is too much covered for that jiva to volitionally take to Krishna Bhakti. That is possible only in the human form of life. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find that he was also inspiring elephants and tigers and deer to chant the names of Krishna. But that is possible for him, that is not possible for everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that how to deliver all the conditioned souls, even in the bodies of lower species. He asked Haridas Thakur, how can they be saved? Haridas Thakur replied, Pashu Paki Kit Adi Balite Na Pare Shunile Hare Nam Tara O Tore. That the animals, the birds, the insects, they cannot chant the name of Krishna. But if they hear the name of Krishna, they can also be delivered. So devotees chant loudly so that all other living beings can take benefit. Devotees, they think of the benefit of all living beings, but their preaching efforts are focused on human society. And devotees try to spread Krishna consciousness in all areas of human society. But just as a practical technique, they may focus on persons who are more inclined to accept Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada several times recommended that we preach among students, because he said that someone who's intelligent, they can use that intelligence to spread Krishna consciousness and take leadership in this movement. So students, they that Prabhupada, he wanted that preaching among them. Now, we find here in this verse is mentioned the Brahmana and the Shvapaki. There are two words, Svapaki and Shvapaki. And Shvapaki. Maybe in Tamil the two merge into one.
Yeah.
Svapaki means one who is so strict about his food that he only eats that which is cooked by himself. They wouldn't even take which was cooked by their wives. They would cook, offer to the Lord, especially if they were Vaishnavas, and take. And another word is Shvapaki. Shva means dog. It means those who cook dogs. So get your pronunciation right. Svapaki means one who is very strict in his eating, and Shvapaki means they eat dogs. So that's not very nice, is it? Eating dogs? It's not very high class, is it? Not very common in India today, although it's a common word we find in Bhagavatam. Maybe it was more common in the past. Still in China, Southeast Asia, eating dogs is popular. So, obviously, a highly cultured Brahmana is on a more elevated level than a person who eats dogs. One who lives a very pure religious life is entitled to worship the Lord. The traditional system is that one has to be born in a Brahmin family to be accepted as a Brahmin. That was always the tradition, that according to one's birth, one is classified as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Chandal, Shvapaki, etc. That was the general system, that within the families of Brahmanas, those, by the arrangements of karma, by the arrangements of the Lord, and according to one's karma, that the child who was suitable to be born in that atmosphere would be born. And so it was expected that the son of a Brahmana would become a Brahmana. Although there were exceptions. There are actually many exceptions. Just like we see that Bhagavan Rishabhdev, mentioned in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, he was taking the role of a king, and he had 100 sons, of whom most took the role of Kshatriyas, but some, particularly the Navayogendras, they were Brahmanas. And it's recorded that they gave spiritual knowledge to Maharaj Nimi, was it not? The 11th canto of Bhagavatam is mentioned. So that was the general system, although in Kali Yoga that has broken down. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yoga everyone is a Shudra. So in Kali Yoga the Pancharatrik system, rather than the Vedic system by birth, but the Pancharatrik system of making Brahmanas according to their quality and reformation, this is in vogue. But either way, if we take a Brahmana by birth or a Brahmana by reformation, by sanskar, Brahmana's quality is different to that of a dog eater or a meat eater of any sort. Although we find in the Vedic age that actually many Brahmanas were eating meat also in the Shraddh ceremony. However, those who are devotees of Krishna, they don't eat meat. Because Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion, fruit, leaf, flower or water, I will accept it. Krishna is a vegetarian. So the point here is that there's a great contrast between the culture and the behavior of a Brahmana and that of a dog eater. In Tamil Nadu especially, now there is a move that anyone should be allowed to worship the deities. It shouldn't only be people from Brahmana caste. Well, we agree with that in some respects, but still there's a question of qualification. One should be a Brahmana to worship the deities. It's not just a matter of performing some rituals, but the consciousness should be, and the mode of life should be pure. It might seem easy, well, anyone can do that job, it's just a matter of lighting some camphor and waving it and muttering some mantras. But actually it requires purified consciousness to for that function to be performed effectively. So anyone from any background can be trained as a Brahmana, but there should be real Brahmanas, by culture, by behavior, by knowledge of Shastra. So lack of knowledge of these principles is causing much disruption in society. On the one hand, some people are claiming that you can only be a Brahmana by birth. Although we find that almost all the Brahmana families, they've lost their culture. On the other hand, it's not that you can just make anyone a Brahmana just by rubber stamping them. So our Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to bring people to a platform even higher than that of a Brahmana. In modern society, everyone is acting in a manner that is most unclean, uncultured, sinful. So to give guidance to human society, it is required that people who have genuine knowledge and realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead be there. It is required that there be pure Vaishnavas. Pure Vaishnav is on a platform even higher than a Brahmana. Brahmana is a material designation and Vaishnav is the situation of the pure soul beyond all material designation. Now here it's mentioned, Vidya Vinaya Sampanna Brahmana. Brahmana should be knowledgeable and humble. These are actually, the full knowledge and full humility is the symptom of a pure devotee of Krishna. Now, we often see that someone, they think, well, I'm a Brahmana. I had my Upanayanam, now I'm a Brahmana, I'm better than others. But it's not simply by being born in a Brahmana family or having Upanayanam that one becomes better than others. So similarly, it's not just by initiation that one becomes a Vaishnava and therefore better than others. Now to be properly initiated in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, one has to follow certain principles, which are no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and chant Hare Krishna. Now these four regulative principles, in the modern age, people think, well, that's very difficult. Although they're the basic principles of civilized human life. So it's a fact that by following these principles, just by following these principles, one becomes situated on a better level than almost everyone else in human society who doesn't follow them. But if one thinks that I am better than others, then he's immediately disqualified from being better than anyone. He's again on the level of a materialist. A Vaishnav, he sees Vasundhaiva Kutumbakam. He sees all as his, everyone is dear to him. I am nija paro veti ganana laghu chetasam. One, a very small-minded person thinks, this is mine, that's someone else. I, me and mine. Me and my friends, me and my enemies. But udara charitanam too, one of broad way of thinking, he sees Vasundhaiva Kutumbakam. Everyone in the world is close to me. Everyone is my Kutumba. So that he's able to see all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna. He sees the possibility to bring everyone to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was preaching, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching among the jungle animals, so Prabhupada was preaching among the animals of the jungle called New York City. Even when Prabhupada went to the Bowery, even the people of other parts of New York told him, don't go there, that's too dangerous. Even they thought it was too bad. Prabhupada came from Vrindavan, the most cultured place. Of course, you may be surprised to know that there are many uncultured activities that go on even in the holy places. But at least in terms of spiritual culture, for those who wanted, Vrindavan is the place, non-pare, means there's no comparison. Although there are also many dacoits in Vrindavan, the land mafia is very dangerous. You can't imagine in Tamil Nadu, there's so many murders every day in Mathura district, mostly over land. 12 murders every week, every month. So, but anyway, Prabhupada had nothing to do with that. He was associating with the real Vrajavasis, the real residents of Vrindavan. And he left Vrindavan, but he brought Vrindavan with him. And he was able to see that all these people are totally confused and sinful, but he was able to see that actually they're all devotees of Krishna and bring out the bhakti in them. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, that in Krishna consciousness there's no discrimination according to any material consideration. As you are all aware of, caste consciousness is very strong. So you can imagine what it was like 500 years ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver the whole universe by the method of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So he did that specifically through Haridas Thakur. He demonstrated the principle of chanting the holy names through Haridas Thakur, who was superficially born in a Muslim family. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Haridas Thakur passed away, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with the transcendental form of Haridas in his arms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga, that birth in a low caste is not a disqualification for Krishna consciousness. Shatkul bipra nahe bhajane ajoga, and simply to be born in a high caste Brahmana family, that does not automatically qualify one for Krishna bhakti. Jebhaje Shebhara, whoever worships Krishna according to the level of their bhakti, they should be considered elevated. And abhakta hina cha, if one is not a devotee, even though he's from the worldly point of view considered exalted, he is, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's estimation, very fallen. Krishna bhajane nahik jat kuladi bichar. In Krishna bhakti, there's no consideration of jat, kul, all these different things. So everyone is welcome to come and take to Krishna consciousness. But still, in lok vyavahar, in ordinary worldly dealings, there is some devotees observe this also. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his great follower, Haridas Thakur, due to being born in a Muslim family, was not allowed in the Jagannath temple in Puri. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely influential. Of course, he's the Supreme Lord himself. But even from the worldly point of view, he is very influential. The Maharaj Prataparudra was his follower. And he had so many followers, especially at the time of Rath Yatra from Bengal. Some hundreds of his followers would come. So either by order of Maharaj Prataparudra or just taking his all followers, by force they could have brought Haridas Thakur into the temple. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't make any big disturbance. Big political movements and social uprisings, this is not the business of devotees. We should preach the principles of bhakti, which means that, well, in some ways we may have to disturb society. We should tell clearly this meat eating, especially all this animal slaughter, cow slaughter, is very sinful. But at the same time, it's not our business to get deeply involved in social reform by any other means than spreading the chanting of the holy names. If we become too much fixed on any topic other than Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then we become diverted. Now, in this point of lok vyavahar, behaving with people according to their position, is also recommended by Rupa Goswami. It's just like, you know, if the Prime Minister of India were to come here, which is highly unlikely, then we'd give him suitable respect. We wouldn't just treat him just, well, you know, just an ordinary person. But in many ways, he is an ordinary person. He was an ordinary person and, you know, somehow or other he became the Prime Minister. He was, what, an economics professor or something before? And somehow or other, you know, by the hands of fate, he became the Prime Minister of India. So if an economics professor comes here, well, we'll respect him for his, you know, being a professor. But if the Prime Minister comes, then we'll offer him a lot more respect. So that is natural. We find that Rupert Sanatan, Sanatan Goswami, he, when he was in the service of the Nawab of Bengal, he respected him as a king. He said, well, you got this position by the grace of God, so we have to respect you for that. But at the same time, when the Nawab wanted to call Sanatan Goswami, you come with me and we're going to attack Orissa, he said, I can't go and join you in attacking Orissa. So we may offer respect, but not become deeply involved. Sometimes, even within our Krishna conscious movement, we see there's some kind of, you know, some difficulty for the members to relate because of different social backgrounds. Sometimes our Western devotees, they can't really understand the Indian devotees, and vice versa. In America, sometimes devotees of black bodies, they sometimes found it difficult to relate with those of white bodies because culturally they're quite different. So Prabhupada proved that, all right, let the black devotees have their own separate center because birds of a feather flock together. He gave that analogy. But we shouldn't exacerbate these differences. That means make it more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that when will that day come when the English, Russian, Prussian means German, American, they will join in the Sankirtan with our Bengali, with the Bengali devotees and embrace each other and say, oh our brothers, please embrace me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is the real United Nations. That there are material differences, but that is not very important. Everyone is spirit soul. Everyone is eternal servant of Krishna. In Bengal, among Bengali Vaishnavas, it's a very important feature at the Mahotsavs or the festivals that everyone takes prasad together. That there's no special arrangement for brahmanas and but there's no caste pride. That's considered something very important because it's known that a cardinal teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that we should not discriminate on the basis of caste. Now, there is some stratification and therefore discrimination within Vaishnava society. It's not that someone who's just coming new in Krishna consciousness that they're treated in the same way as someone who's been dedicated for many years. And in fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced Brahminical initiation for within the Vaishnava Sampradaya and sannyas initiation. Now, why should one become a sannyasi when a Vaishnava, the position of a Vaishnava is higher than that of a sannyasi? Sannyasi is a material designation. Vaishnava is beyond all material designation. That is the identity of the soul. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced this within the Vaishnava Sampradaya for the same reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fully spiritual and his message is fully spiritual. But people don't understand, they didn't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They thought, well, it's just, you know, Sachi Mata's son. And therefore they neglected his important message. So he took sannyas because he had to preach Krishna consciousness, and if you want to preach, then people have to respect you. So for the same reason, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced sannyas in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Someone has to preach the message of Krishna, then he should be respected. And by designating some of his senior renunciate preachers as sannyasis, that also gave the opportunity for the junior devotees to recognize their position and to serve them. And then on the other hand, if one thinks, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a brahmana, then he didn't understand the purpose for accepting these designations in the service of Krishna. So in Vaishnava society there is stratification also. Depending on seniority, service performed, depending on one's... There are various factors. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jai Bhaje Se Boro, according to the intensity of one's service. So it is appropriate that those who are dedicated to serving Krishna, they be respected by others. Krishna is also pleased with that. But if one demands or expects respect, then that means he hasn't understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So a devotee sees all living beings as equal. He acts in a way to try to uplift others and tries himself also to go up in Krishna bhakti by service, by sadhana, by surrender, but at the same time being very careful not to think that I am great. A devotee is just the opposite of a non-devotee. A non-devotee is always trying to promote himself. Ishvar aham, aham bhogi, I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer. A non-devotee always thinks, I'm right. But a devotee always thinks, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, I am simply His servant. So, a devotee is not... He may be praised by others, but if that happens, then what does he do? He always thinks, Yogyata bichare kichunahi pai tomara karunasha. If there is any good that you see in me, it is simply by the mercy of my guru. He never takes credit for himself. Whereas non-devotees, they always want to advertise. Just see me, I'm so big, I'm so good, I'm so great. But a pure devotee is simply interested in serving Krishna. And he knows that this false egoism, this ahankar, is a great enemy in my advancement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one who flatters me is my enemy. Now in material life we think one who flatters me is my friend. This whole material life is going on simply trying to get people to flatter you. Praise you. When you approach a government officer for some work, you praise them, you give them a little token of appreciation, a few hundred rupees, and you get your work done. These politicians, the head of big political parties, they love that people will praise them. They like to see big cutouts of them all over the city. But a devotee's attitude is different. At Kumbh Mela in 1970, I think it was, at Allahabad, Western devotees were there for the first time and they saw so many Mayavadi gurus going on big elephants. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we should put you on the elephant instead of these Mayavadi gurus. Prabhupada immediately said, no, I would put Radha and Krishna there. That was Prabhupada's attitude. He made Krishna famous all over the world, not himself. He sees that some people are so crazy to be praised that they declare themselves God. But what is the value of being praised as God if you're not? Then you become the king of the jungle, like the jackal. You all know that story from Hitopadesh, that one jackal came out from the jungle into the village and they had the vat of blue dye and in the village and he fell into it and the jackal became completely blue in color. So when he went back in the jungle, all the animals thought, oh, we never saw any animal like that before. He must be a divine being. So they all made him the king of the animal. Even the lion was offering him respect. So this was going on for some time. So one day the jackal at night was sitting in court with all the other animals offering him respect, feeding him, serving him. And in the distance some jackals called out, you don't know, you live in the city. If you live in the country, then you know what the jackals... These boys are from the village, you know the sound of the jackal. I've also traveled in villages all over India, Bangladesh, so I know it's the sound of the jackal. So there's the king of the animals. When he heard this, from his high seat, He couldn't restrain himself. He also started making the same noise. And all the other animals could understand, oh, he's a jackal. And they chased him out. So by making a pretense, you can fool people, but it doesn't make you actually in a high position. So flattery is for fools. If someone praises, oh, you're so wonderful, you're so great, it's done by people because they want to take some advantage of you. And foolish people enjoy that. But an intelligent person thinks that, I'm not great, I'm simply a servant. I'm servant of the Supreme Lord and His servants. A person who is actually spiritually advanced doesn't like to be praised. He likes Krishna to be praised. He may take the position of a sannyasi or a guru to, like a tax collector, Prabhupada gave the example. That he inspires people in bhakti and directs that towards Krishna. Guru is to be praised, but not as an independent entity, but he's praised because he directs us towards Krishna. So one may accept a high position in Vaishnava society, and that should be acknowledged, but only for the service of Hari Guru Vaishnava. Regarding riding on an elephant, during the Navadip Dham Parikrama, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur directed one of his sannyasi disciples, you ride on the elephant with the deities of Radha Govinda, and you just serve them. You do chamar seva like this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he was reluctant, he was hesitant to do so. How shall I sit above my all the other devotees and the guru? Just like I was saying, I don't want to sit above the Bhagavad Gita. We've come here to worship the Bhagavad Gita, not to place ourselves as higher than Bhagavad Gita. So he was reluctant to do so, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, no, for the sake of service, you can go up. On the order of Guru, for the sake of service, one can go up. So one may be promoted for the sake of service, but then if he thinks I'm big, then he falls down again. Just like in Mahabharata, we see Maharaj Nahush was promoted to the position of Indra. But then he thought, I'm so great, and he offended the brahmanas, and he fell down and became a snake. So he was in the position of a pious king, and he got promoted to a higher position, that of Indra, but then he fell down to a much lower position than that of a pious king, to the position of a snake. So everyone is supposed to serve Krishna, and a devotee sees all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna. But he may take various roles for the service of Krishna. If one thinks, yes, I should be humble, therefore I won't do any big service for Krishna, then it's better to take a socially bigger position and do bigger service for Krishna. Just like the elephant is a very big animal. And he's carrying the deity of Radha Govinda. And if you think, well, I'll be very small like an ant, well, the ant may be biting Krishna. Or if you think, well, I'll just eat very little food. Well, the ant eats very little. The elephant eats a lot. But if by eating a lot the elephant is serving the Lord, then better to eat a lot than eat a little and not serve Him. So generally people think, well, someone's a great sadhu if they eat very little or they're very austere. But if by serving Krishna better, if by accepting facilities in the service of the Lord, we can serve Him better, then better to do so. But if we use those facilities for our own sense gratification, then it's a complete misuse. So all these points should be understood very carefully. We want everyone to come to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people say, well, what are you doing for the poor people? Well, we're spreading the Hari Nam Sankirtan movement. Everyone can participate. But it doesn't matter how much poor feeding you have, or poor people will always be there. The real way to help everyone, poor and rich, is to give them Krishna Prasadam and Prabhupada's books and the holy names. And it may be that just as worldly people do, we, in our general dealings, we offer more respect to people who are Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri, those who have material opulence of, you know, like being, you know, yeah. Because they're in a position to serve Krishna better. We preach among human beings rather than among cats and dogs because they can more easily, you know, they're much more easily take to Krishna consciousness. So, on the same principle, if a very influential person or a very politically powerful person or a very rich person, they can do a lot of service. If we have to build a temple for Krishna, which is going to cost 30 crores to build, then we can go and collect 1 rupee from 30 crore people, but it's, if one man gives 30 crores, then the temple can be built quickly and the benefit that people will get from it will come around. One time in Bihar, I heard one of our devotees in a public meeting, he was criticizing the chief minister. Now, there might have been good grounds to criticize him on. He said something like, does he think that the rain is his urine or something like that, he said. Well, as a result of that, the news came to the chief minister and the government was about to sanction some land for giving to ISKCON in Patna, cancelled. So that wasn't a very good idea, was it? So, actually, as Prabhupada often said, the politicians are all rascals and it's quite apparent to see. But we should be a little careful in our dealings also. And offer respect where it's appropriate. At the same time, we should know that we are servants of Krishna. We are not servants of politicians. We're not servants of money. So all these points should be understood very clearly based on the understanding that we're here to serve Krishna. We're all servants of Krishna. We have nothing to do ultimately with this body or with this world. But because we have to serve Krishna within this complex world, we should also be aware of its complexities and act accordingly, while keeping our pure spiritual vision intact. This we can do by regularly hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and discussing with devotees. And we can also study the life of Srila Prabhupada, how he preached, how he lived, that he really tried hard. He really gave his everything, his every breath for serving Krishna. But he fully depended on the mercy of Krishna also. Ultimately, everything is in Krishna's hands. It is our duty to try to serve Krishna. We should not compromise our principles. We should try our best to bring everyone into Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, we are not the doer. Krishna is the... Everything is in the hands. So these are some thoughts on how the learned persons see all living beings equally. It doesn't mean that we should go out in the street and embrace a pig, but we can chant Hare Krishna so the pig can hear, knowing that actually it's not a pig. It's a spirit soul trapped in that body due to his grossly sinful activities. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Yeah, please. No, turn it on. No, because we want everyone to hear. Please say it in English and then in Tamil.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I can say it in English and in Tamil also.
In the house we find a lot of cockroaches and all. As you said, how about killing the cockroaches in the house?
How about killing the cockroaches in the house? Yeah, Tamil. Well, Prabhupada, when he was asked about this, he said, this is because you are not clean. You should clean properly. But then in one center, the temple was in it wasn't a very good area, you see, and the devotees, they were in an area where the whole building was very old, the whole area wasn't very good, and they didn't have any means to move at that time. And they said, well, there are cockroaches everywhere. Even when you put the offering to the deities, the cockroaches are going on. Prabhupada allowed, well, in that circumstance, then you can have some chemicals for exterminating them. But in general, he didn't like, he said, keep clean. That was Prabhupada's response. I was staying at one time in Bangkok, in an area, Bangkok in Thailand, just a rats everywhere, it's horrible. In Calcutta also, even up to today, the brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram, the rats, they chew on your toes at night. In Bangkok we had rats, in Calcutta. In our temple in New York, I saw a cat in the kitchen. I said, what's this? How can you allow a cat in Krishna's kitchen? And he said, well, you know, according to the temple president told me that, well, you see, according to the municipal regulations, because we're feeding many people here, if they see one mouse in here, they'll close the whole thing down. They inspect from time to time. If they see any mouse, they'll close it down. So, you know, it's not, rather than killing the mice by mouse traps, we keep a cat, and it's kind of natural to the cat. By natural means, gets rid of, the mice don't come if there's a cat around, so it's better to have cats than mice.
Sometimes when we are staying in some place, snake comes. Even in the temple, snake comes. But ordinary people say we should not kill.
So in the temple, you don't kill snakes. And if you chant Garuda, Garuda, it won't harm. You do that in Tamil Nadu? They chant Garuda when the snake comes? Is it? There's any system like that? In Bengal, they used to. In Bengal, I used to see there's so many snakes. I think more people get killed by snakes than in any other state in India. But the boys in the villages, they're very expert in catching them and killing them. I used to see so many cobras in Mayapur in the rainy season. They come, because of the flooded fields, they come inside. So if there's a dangerous snake like a cobra, then according to Shastra, then modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatya. Even a sadhu is pleased if a dangerous snake or a scorpion is killed. Alright, let's chant Hare Krishna. You're going to have arati now? Alright. You answer this question.
This question was like, only in human form of life so that you can directly do the service to Krishna. In other species of life only you can be indirectly only.
No, well, I gave the example of the elephant, but they have to be directed by humans to do so.
Yeah, but his question is different. He is asking whether that particular tree or when we are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, whether it can be immediately elevated to
the... No, they'll get benefit, but it's, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced seven trees and they went directly to Vaikuntha, but we're not so powerful. They'll get benefit according to your degree of purity. But we preach, like I say, to the human beings. It's not that we run from tree to tree saying Hare Krishna. All right, thank you very much for coming. On coming and coming, coming and one day you'll be going.